This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, here we are. The first month is in the books. Well, they started in like January 13th, but still, it's now February, and the Capitals have been going strong. They've had a couple good games, a couple questionable plays there, a couple questionable plays. People are missing. Lots of stuff to talk about. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. Baltimore got some snow. It feels a little bit like Canada in Maryland the last couple days. So, I mean, that's been nice. That's the first big snowstorm in, like, what, 5 years, I think they said?
I don't know if I would call it a big snowstorm. It was a snowstorm.
Lots of ice.
It was actually pretty funny because we were out in the backyard yesterday, and I'm, you know, you have the ice on. It's sort of ice, more of a hard snow on top. So as you step in it, you hear that, like, the, you know, as you're going through. But my son doesn't weigh enough, so he would, like, I would make a full indentation in the snow. He would make, like, a little dent. And then he would fall over because he couldn't figure out how to walk in it. So it was fun in many ways when messing around.
That's usually my defense as well. If I don't know how to do something or figure it out, I just kind of fall over as well.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think no one's got, you know, there's no complaints there.
You know who hasn't fallen over? Who's looked really good? Vitek Vanacek. What a segue there, right?
That was a good one. I like it. Well done.
The dude has been solid. He actually has earned the NHL's Rookie of the Month for January, so congratulations to him. But like we talked about it last week, people are still talking about it this week. What happens when Samsonov finally comes off that COVID list? What are they going to do with Vitek? Because he's worked really hard to get here. He's doing really well. I'm pretty sure they said he's been in the U.S. for 5 years, and he kind of waited it out, and here's your reward. You're in the NHL, and you're playing like a champ right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's played exceptionally well. He's definitely played better than the expectations were for him. I mean, beginning of the season, he was expected to be in Hershey or be the third goalie, you know, on the taxi squad. You know, they weren't anticipating him not only being the backup, but being the guy. Yeah. That they're relying on to keep them in a lot of these games. And, you know, he's had some rookie moments here and there, but he's playing exceptionally well. And he was awarded with the NHL's Rookie of the Month. He went 5-0-2, GAA of 2.78, save percentage of 9.18. I mean, he's done exceptionally well. He is the eighth Capital to ever win this very prestigious award. There's air quotes on that. Third current Cap after Ovechkin and Backstrom to have won the award. And he's the fourth Capitals goalie. I don't know if you remember, Michael Neuwirth got it once.
Yeah, remember that guy.
Jim Carrey, not the actor, and Bob Mason got it back in, I think it was the 84 season that I read earlier today. I didn't, like, know that I was one. Actually, I didn't exist yet, I think, when he won it. So, no, I think it's pretty cool. Actually, you know, I had a guy on Twitter. He goes by Matt at mclifton_1. He was writing to me asking if I still think that Samsonov is, like, the number one, if it's a competition. You know, I still think Samsonov is likely the organization's number one for the future and now. But Vanacek has certainly, you know, put his, I don't know, stake in the argument, or how, I don't know what phrase to use there. I kind of use, like, three of them somehow in that one sentence. But he's definitely made them look at him and go, excuse me, guys, I exist, I'm here too, and I can play pretty freaking well. And it's a good problem for the team to have. I mean, I think once Samsonov comes back, he's going to need some, he's going to need a little time to get up to speed, and he's going to have, you know, he's got to get the rust off in his first game or two. But I think it's definitely more of a rotation right now than, you know, your primary guy and your backup. You've started in your backup. I think you definitely have a rotation between these two guys more so than they were anticipating going into the season. And if anything, if Samsonov continues to, not that he, I mean, can't say continues to struggle, he didn't play very much, but if he struggles, he might end up being the backup. And either way, this is a good thing for the Capitals to have, because in the, going forward, likely not this season, but probably not next season, but we'll see, you know, you have a very good trade chip if you need to bring in someone. And knowing that you're likely going to be losing someone important to Seattle in the offseason, having someone that you can move out, I mean, if you're Ryan Drury or myself, you're talking about moving Orlov out, but you want to be able to bring in a forward that can play in your top six to replace, my assumption is TJ Oshie's going to Seattle, because overall it's a good story for him to go out there. But if you need to replace Oshie, you're doing that by moving usually a young goaltender, or you move a defenseman like Orlov. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, wow. So I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now, since Seattle's kind of like always like, it's always like, oh yeah, you're really
lurking
about this player,
there, waiting. Yeah.
That Kraken is just waiting for you, lurking in the waters, waiting for you to make a move. Yeah, Orlov or TJ Oshie seemed like the guys to go. You know me, I'm not a huge Orlov fan, so of the two, I'd rather see Orlov go. But I mean, time will only tell.
I feel like, you know, once Schultz is healthy, and knowing you have Favari and Siegenthaler, you can move Orlov out. You have plenty of veterans now in Carlson and Chara, who's playing probably more than they were expecting and doing very well.
Yeah, but they don't expect him to stick around
for
past
old man
season.
River. No, I know. But you have, you know, young guys that are coming up that you've seen that you have high hopes for, and at some point you need to give them minutes. Orlov has he's an expensive contract. And you have to, if you want something, you have to give up something. I mean, they gave up Brower and actually, wasn't it Copley to get Oshie? You have to give up something to get something. This isn't the European football where you can just give them money and get a really good player. You have to be able to give up something of value to get something of value back. So you need to find a team that's looking for help on defense, hopefully offensive help on defense, that's willing to take on that contract and obviously the player, and willing to give up a top six forward for it. So you need to find someone like Seattle, like the trade with them where they gave up Oshie. You know, and then whether that means you're moving Orlov or after the season, are you moving someone like Vanecek or Samsonov? I think it's too early to know which one of the goalies you're moving, but Caps have been in this position before. They had Varlamov and Neuwirth. They moved on from Varlamov. Then it was Neuwirth and Holpe. They moved on from Neuwirth. And then it was Holpe and Samsonov. They moved on from Holpe. Although this time they didn't trade Holpe, they just let him go. But you know, you have these value, you have the value in players that you can move. And Vanecek's value is going up every game he plays. And it's a good thing for the Caps because A, he's helping them win, and B, his trade value, if that's the guy you decide to move on from eventually, continues to rise.
I assume next season they're going to go after Lundqvist again if he decides he's playing. I mean, who knows, with having a heart surgery, your lookout on life could change, and you may want to spend more time at home, and he's had a great career, so, I mean, it's really his call. But really, the Caps have done, you know, we said they were kind of having a slow start, and is this team really that good? And it seems like they may have actually been getting things together this week. A lot of that, I think, has to do with VTech keeping them in the games. But we saw a great win against the Islanders last Thursday night, where they had an amazing second period. They got 5 goals in that one period. And just recently, up against Boston, it was their first regulation loss of the season. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a slow start, but it seems like even though they're lacking a few players, really talented players too, the Caps are sticking with it and doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing okay. They're, you know, the second win over the Islanders is definitely where it was, you know, a lot of people are calling it a gutsy win. I think that's fair to say, because you're without, you know, the four Russians, you're without Backstrom and Eller, and you're without Wilson.
Right.
So your top line center at the end of that game was Nick Dowd, which, nothing against him, but that's not his play. That's not
his skills. Think even Nick Dowd's probably like, I don't belong here, guys.
Guys, can I go back to the third or fourth line? It's great. No, it's just, it didn't. That was a very weird game. But in this season right now, I mean, part of it is Vanecek is keeping them in because they continually are not playing 60 minutes. We have yet to see this team play one 60-minute game. In fact, we've yet to see this team play one 50 or even 40-minute game. They keep having periods and a little more where they're just not checked out, but just not playing hard enough. And it's tough to say exactly what the issue is, but you've had different coaches coming through. We've had the same issue these last couple of years. You and I keep talking about this on the show where, you know, they're not playing full games. And I'm sure every team has this kind of thing happen. But there's a repetition of certain players that haven't left or are still part of this team that keep having this problem. But it's consistent at the start of the season. Now, I was talking about this before, and Boudreaux also brought it up in one of the post games. I don't remember which game it was after that. They're still in preseason mode. I think that's over now. We're at the 10-game mark. Now they should be in regular season mode. You know, if anything, even the preseason, you've had a game or two under your belt. So they should be playing better. Both of these games versus the Bruins, they blew 3-goal leads. Yeah. Both of those should have been regulation wins. They got lucky that they won the first one in overtime with Ovechkin with a beautiful shot on the game he came back. And then they blew a 3-goal lead and then lost that game 5-3, given one of them was an empty netter. This is a problem that the team has got to play better on, because the way they're playing right now is not going to work in the playoffs. And teams are going to start figuring it out, and it's going to be harder to make the playoffs this year. They're not exactly in an easy division. And they're not in first in the division anymore. As of last night, given just the way it lines up, I don't know how the tiebreaker necessarily works. I think the Flyers are ahead though, but Philly's number one in the division right now.
And we're going to see them in a couple days.
Yeah, they have the Rangers first, and then two games against the Flyers. So every game you play this year, because you're only playing in your division, every game is super important. So yeah. Letting ones get away from you, it's going to cost you, likely, at the end of the season. The team is not guaranteed to make the playoffs, especially now with the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, new coach, new players, and we're 10 games in, and a lot of, like you said, a lot of players were missing. A lot of star players were missing. So it's kind of... I don't know. Like it's been weird seeing this team actually win, because the last week or so, I wasn't expecting them to win anything with so many players out. But yeah, it's a gutsy win. But I agree with you. It's been them having a lot of trouble playing 60 minutes. It's as if they just can't do it. But I don't know. It's they're playing as good as I guess they can play in that COVID era right now with all the restrictions that they have. I don't know. It's like a different world, you know. It's hard to expect the same team or the same season or the same kind of hockey or any kind of sport when you have all these other things going on, like, you know, not being able to be around the team as much, or, you know, you're not building that camaraderie with a lot of different players. It's hard to expect every team to perform at the best of their ability right now just because of everything else that's happening around them.
I mean, I think that's fair to an extent.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I fully buy it in the sense that they've had practices. So the overall play, like their camaraderie off the ice, or even, you know, if they're moving the lines a lot, I understand. They've had a bunch of injuries, but they were able to play through these injuries. The issue is not the injuries right now. The issue is not the lack of chemistry amongst the players, because they're able to get these leads. It's their inability to then continue that high level of play that they start the game with, or they play in the second period, and continue on throughout the rest of the game. They let teams back in, and Boston completely took over that game.
Yeah.
When they won. I mean, completely.
I think it was after that, the fight Wilson had. It kind of sparked up Boston's
why is he fighting?
Comeback.
You're winning. The previous game, that I think he's a rookie or second year knucklehead from Boston, tried to fight him, and Wilson was like, "No thanks, get out of here. Stop bothering me, kid." But then this game, he's like, "I'm mad now." Like, settle down. You got to play smarter than that. You're not a rookie, Wilson. He should know better. You know what?
A little side note about Wilson.
Well, it's just like, because when we started fighting, I was like, they literally were just complimenting you in the other game about not being a dummy. And now you're being a dummy.
Yeah. Side note about Wilson, though, with those blue third jerseys that everybody's kind of been snagging up. Apparently, Tom Wilson's the hottest selling one for the Capitals, that I guess either everybody has an
Ovechkin. They're all buying them and putting them on eBay.
Well, yeah, but I guess everybody has an Ovechkin, or they are worried that he's going to leave the team. But like, I apparently Wilson, people kind of think has the staying power right now, so that's what they're going for.
I mean, I don't really see him leaving. I made a comment after the playoffs and the bubble about, or no, he did something really stupid again. And I made a comment about moving on from him if he can't control his behavior. And
from who? From what? Wilson?
I made a comment about Wilson.
Okay.
Caps moving on from Wilson if he can't control himself, because he's just, you know, it doesn't put the team in a good light. It doesn't put him in a good light if he keeps making dumb things and injuring players or doing these, you know, clearly not legal hits. I get he wants to play hard, but you also got to play smart. He didn't do that when he got into a fight the other night with that guy. So, the point is I angered someone on Twitter. And I was like, well, hold on. I was just trying to make a point. He's got to play smarter. And, like, I didn't mean to say, like, get him out now. I just, it hurts the team overall when he makes poor choices. But he's not the only one. I mean, there's plenty of guys that we could sit there and be like, okay, well, that costs us there. And you're an idiot. And don't do that. And go sit down, you know, with a bunch of guys. So it wasn't, my point was not to just go after Wilson. But, the way they're playing right now.
It's not like he cost the team $100,000.
No, those were other guys. Which is, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
I mean, we went over all that last week in terms of the rule and stuff. Why is Kuznetsov still on the list? He didn't test positive, right? Samsonov did.
Do they have to tell you when someone is positive? Like, is that a violation?
Like, does Samsonov have to tell someone? Yeah.
Well, no, I know he has to tell people, but, like, does the NHL need to tell? Like, you know how if they have a concussion, it's just an upper body injury. Like, if you're just on the COVID list.
His leg fell off. It's a lower body injury. He's day to day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a scratch. But like, do they have to tell us? Like, is it up to the player to tell us? I mean, you could just say you're on the COVID list, but then not potentially say if it's, like, close contact or if they are positive. Because, like, since Kuzi's still out, I'm assuming he is positive, because why else would he be out and the other two not be?
No, he must have gotten the virus. That's the only thing I think of. But the only thing we've heard or seen, I don't know. I can't remember what the NHL said in terms of whether they're actually going to reveal if someone tests positive. But I feel like we knew Samsonov test positive. But we didn't hear anything about Kuznetsov. So I'm not entirely sure, if I'm to be honest. I just found it weird that Ovechkin came back the one game, Orlov came back the next game, and that was probably more based on who was playing, that they both were eligible for the same game. But yeah, that's just, I just wanted to touch base on that because I still find that to be a little bit weird.
And even when those two players are cleared, Kuzi and Samsonov, they are going to have to get their playing legs back under them, because, like, these guys have been playing 10 games now, and now you've sat out and you've missed four. And Ovechkin said he came back and he said they limited his minutes.
Six now. Well, Kuznetsov's missed six. And
Samsonov. Yeah, but Ovechkin missed four, and he came back, and they said they limited his time to about 14 minutes of the game. Yeah. That's because he hadn't played in so many days.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's expected, and it makes complete sense. You know, you limit. So, like, if Kuznetsov comes back and Eller's healthy, I wouldn't at all be surprised to see Kuznetsov on, like, third line pairing, or Eller Oshie takes a couple of those spots in the center, on the center spot on the second line, because you need to ease a guy back in. But I still find it weird that he's not in yet. Like, what's going on there?
I don't know. let's talk a little bit about that loss to the Bruins. I thought it was interesting with the lineups that Jacob Verana was bumped down to the fourth line. Now, a lot of people on Twitter were going a little crazy about that earlier in the day, but he was the player of the game. You know, he was announced by Joe B that he was the player of the game, and I believe he got an assist on two of the goals that the Capitals were able to score. So he's getting points. He's doing what he can. So maybe this time down on the fourth line, Jacob Verana maybe feels a little bit less pressure. He's playing a little bit looser. Maybe he gets along with those guys better. I don't know. But for whatever reason, getting bumped down to the fourth seems to be helping Verana in his game right now.
Well, that's a problem in itself, because he's supposed to be your next, you know, first line, second line, goal scoring, assisting winger. Like, dude needs to be able to play more. And he's not producing. So that's an issue. because at some point Ovechkin's going to retire and someone needs to take that first line left wing spot. And Vrana's got to be the guy, I imagine, that they have penciled in somewhere to take on, to take that spot. And he has yet to consistently produce. Now the lines at practice from earlier today, today being Tuesday, Vrana was on the second line on the left wing with Oshie and Panik. Theory, that's not a bad line. I mean, Oshie you don't really want in the center spot, but you don't really have any other options right now because Eller's out and Kuznetsov's out. So it's not a terrible line. Obviously, when Kuznetsov comes back, you just slide Oshie over. That should be a good line. But Vrana consistently is unable to produce. Since the cup run, he's never matched that same level. And we're still waiting to see that from him.
When is his rookie contract up? Is that next year? I think it's next year.
I don't think he's on a rookie contract anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they signed him. Hang on. Vrana is he is currently making 3.35. All right, his cap hit. He's a restricted free agent after the season.
Okay, so I mean, potentially they could sign him starting this off season.
I mean, they could do it now if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So going into the next offseason, they have to re-sign Ovechkin, Vrana. Ovechkin, obviously, a UFA. Vrana's restricted. Connor Sheary's a UFA. Michael Scarbosa will be a UFA. Van Riemsdyk, Siegenthaler, and Chara. Siegenthaler's restricted. And Craig Anderson will need a new deal, as will Ilya Samsonov.
Yeah, so if you're Jacob Vrana, you got to be playing better because they got a lot of money to spread around in this offseason, and if you want a big chunk of that...
Well, a big chunk of that's going to go to number eight.
Yeah, but you got to give them a reason to give you that big money.
So I'm trying to figure out how this works, but if I'm reading it correctly, they'll have about $12 million in cap space. I don't think that's right. Okay, according to Cap Friendly, they have about 12.275 million in cap space going into next year. And we're expecting the salary cap to stay at the same spot with 81.5. So they're going to have some work to do because of that 12 and a quarter, just over a quarter, most of that's going to be Ovechkin. So that's a problem. Now, I would anticipate, especially because Kempney's back, you know, maybe you don't re-sign Van Riemsdyk. Maybe move on from Jensen. I don't know. But for Vrana, I was talking with Ryan the other, what was that, last night about it. You know, do you move out Orlov, bring in a winger to play on the top six, second line, you know, left winger potentially. You put Vrana back on the third line for the rest of the season so he doesn't have quite that same pressure and let him play there and continue to build up confidence going into next season. But dude's already 24. He's been around for a while now. And, you know, how much do you have to coddle him to? I mean, he's only 24, so he's not like that old, but how much do you want to coddle the dude before he needs to be able to step up and play better? I'm getting very much, I don't like to say this, but I'm getting a lot of Tomas Fleischmann vibes. He's very streaky. He's fast as hell, but we're not in the speed skating in the Olympics, man. Like, he's got to put the puck in the net and get some assists. Now, he's had his ups and downs. He's got 3 goals, 5 assists. So he's not, like, terrible.
Yeah.
But I just kind of feel like with Ovechkin out, I want to see that point total higher.
Right, yeah.
You know, I want to see more assists. I want to see more goals. 3 goals in 10 games. I feel like we should be getting more from him. Carlson's got 4. He's a freaking defenseman. Carlson's currently tied with Wilson for second on the team in goals with 4. Vrana's got 3. Oshie's got 2. Would like to see a bit more from Oshie, actually, now that I think about it in terms of goals. Ovechkin's only got 2, but he's got 7 points in 6 games.
You brought up something that was kind of interesting. We didn't bring it up on the show, though. You asked Ryan and Phil, our hockey friends, on Twitter, with Ovechkin out, who would get the C if this were
like soccer.
If it was like soccer, right. We didn't talk about it on the show, but we should probably bring that up right now because I believe I said Carlson or Wilson would be my picks to wear that temporary C. But Oshie, really, you think about it, Oshie would be also a good candidate for that.
So to clarify for those who don't watch soccer or European football, in that
like
sport,
me.
Like Brandon, in that sport, someone has to wear the captain's armband when they're on, and it's a literal armband, when they're on the field or the pitch. So in hockey, the captain
That's
doesn't
baseball.
Have to. So if Ovechkin, settle down. If Ovechkin is out, injured, COVID, whatever the case may be, right? Like, you don't replace, no one else is coming out with a C on their jersey. Even like soccer, if the captain gets subbed out for whatever reason, he takes the armband off and gives it to someone else. So, in a lot of cases, you know, the captains talk to the ref and that kind of thing. So, if they did that in hockey, which I don't, you'd have to take it from off the jersey and have it some sort of like, or no, I guess it wouldn't matter because they're constantly moving in and out. But either way, I agree on Carlson. I don't think Backstrom would want it. He just seems more like he just wants to go out and play hockey and you know, try and win and score points. I don't think he'd want to the captaincy aspect, like that full leadership. I'm sure he's a leader in the locker room. You know, but I think Oshie's a good call. I think Oshie or Carlson. I don't see Wilson having at this point, especially now he's going to be fighting guys while they're winning and letting the momentum continue to swing in their direction. I mean, the other obvious choice is someone like Chara, at least for this season. Like, that just makes complete sense to me.
I mean, yeah, he's a big guy. Everybody literally has to look up to him.
Just don't steal his hockey sticks. Did you see that story?
Yeah.
The guy didn't steal them, but nice job, FedEx.
I think it was Kuzi as well, asked if he could use one of his at practice.
Yeah.
Char's like, yeah, you could try it out, but don't break it. I don't have a lot of those.
Yeah, you had to order. I guess the Caps are going to pick him up from that dude's house in New Jersey and bring him to Madison Square Garden for the game on Friday.
Yeah. All right, anything else we should talk about
Thursday
in
or
Caps
Friday?
World?
When do they play next?
I believe it's Thursday.
I got it right. Yeah, Thursday. I think. I had a schedule, and now I can't see it anymore. What else is going on in Caps World? Well, the injuries are still an issue. Connor Sheary, Justin Schultz, both were not at practice. Schultz missed the last game, I want to say. Lars Eller and Brian Pinho were in light blue jerseys, so I wouldn't anticipate these guys necessarily making the... They'd probably go to New York, but I don't think they're going to be playing on
Thursday. Who got cut? Was that Sheary? No, that was Schultz, wasn't it? Who got cut?
Schultz took a puck to the face, I think.
That's what it was. Okay, right.
Yeah, he took a puck off the dome.
Yeah. So him and Eller are probably both concussion protocol.
No, I think... I don't know if it's concussion or just his face hurts. I think Eller is the one who probably had a concussion.
Yeah.
He got rocked.
Yes, he did. It was not a good day for Lars Eller. All right, well, hopefully we get some guys back. Hopefully some guys come off the COVID list and they can join the lineup as well. But overall, I mean, yeah, the Caps are having trouble playing those 60 minutes, but the fact that they have so much talent missing, you got to give it up to them to even still be in the race right now.
I credit the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, they were able to keep these guys together, keep them playing hard, doing the right things. I mean, people were talking about the Chara signing being such a mistake because he's old man River. It can't hurt in that kind of situation to have a guy that can come in who's been doing it for so long that commands a locker room by just physically being there and not because he's 19 feet tall, that you can have him come in and calm everybody down and the coaching staff can then just, you're like, guys, we got this. So let's just play our game. Play smart.
I love the Chara signing. Absolutely love it. I mean, we'll see what happens, how much time he's got left to play, but I'd be fine with him sticking around past this season, but we'll see what happens. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey's preseason games against Binghamton and Lehigh Valley were canceled after speaking with medical experts and the AHL. Now, they canceled them due to the health and safety of the players, coaches, and game day personnel. This is probably why the NHL said no. to preseason games. If we're going to play them, we're going to be the ones that count, or they shouldn't be playing at all. Hershey, so
this was all COVID related.
I think so. No one tested positive, but I think they decided to not play those games just in case. That's what it sounds
okay.
like.
Gotcha.
So Hershey is scheduled to start their season this Friday in Binghamton. Then they head home for their home opener on Saturday against Lehigh Valley.
Have they said anything about whether or not they're going to have fans? I know originally when the schedule got released, there was talk of having fans at Giant Center.
I haven't seen anything. I wouldn't be surprised if they did at some point. I don't know if it'll be in the beginning.
Yeah.
While you look it up, we're going to head down to South Carolina, where they went 1-2 in the past week with a win over Florida. They're currently third in the Eastern Conference, 5 points behind second place Florida. But South Carolina have played 3 less games. Now, they'll be back at it on Wednesday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Greenville before heading to Greenville on Thursday. A little home and home. Friday, they're back home against Jacksonville. Another prospect news, Alex Alexiev. He's got 4 E's in his name. I think if it's Alexander, that's 5. That's far too many. Anyways, he was named one of the KHL's best for last week, so congratulations to him. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, did you find it interesting that within the last week, Connor McMichael was reassigned to Hershey and wasn't staying on the taxi squad? Like you said, you weren't really impressed with what he did on the Capitals for the one game he was a part of. But it looks like to me that these guys want him to play and get some ice time. That's why they're not keeping him on the taxi squad. They want him in Hershey.
Yeah, I think they want him to play. And if something happens where the Hershey's not playing, I would imagine he comes back up to the taxi squad. But he's a young guy, a lot of talent, a lot of potential. You need him to be playing, you know, as often as possible. And so having him in Hershey just makes more sense than having him on the taxi squad if they're going to have a season. And he only gets to play in Hershey because I believe the NHL and the junior leagues made an agreement that as long as the junior leagues aren't playing, players under a certain age, I think it's 20 or 19, they can go to the AHL. Whereas if everything was normal, McMichael could not play in the minors. He would have to go back to his junior team.
Right, he'd be with the London Knights in the OHL, but since they're not having a season, you know, that's very interesting. All right, so everybody knows COVID and how bad everything is with COVID and how it's changed the entire world. But you think about it with these junior players, these prospects, with a lot of these minor leagues being suspended, and for good reason. Like, if you cannot keep things, you know, sanitized and you can't keep everybody healthy, then it's best not to play. And we're seeing, you know, the NHL and the NBA and the NFL, all of them having trouble with COVID and trying to keep everybody safe. If you can't do that, then yes, suspend the league. But what's going to happen to these younger players? What's going to happen to these high schoolers who were expecting to get, you know, contracts to nice colleges because they were going to play a sport? Like, the fact that these leagues are shut down and sporting is completely shut down, it's going to either stunt the talent coming out of coming out of high school and college, or it may completely just obliterate any sort of developmental deals that will be happening for years to come. Like, we might be feeling the effects of COVID in a professional manner, be feeling the effects of that for, God, probably 5-10 years. I think we're going to feel the effects of COVID, just the disease, you know, for maybe another 50 years or something like that. But as far as how it is affecting how we get work done and how the sporting world gets work done, I mean, this is going to be going for a long time.
I mean, yeah, it definitely hurts prospects. You know, they don't have a lot to for teams to see before they know if they want to draft them. So it definitely will hurt. I mean, some guys who probably could have had a career may not get that opportunity now.
Yeah. The next couple of years in the sporting world is going to be very interesting to watch and see what happens. So that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. There's plenty of stuff happening. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, the NHL has had to play with their schedules quite a bit due to COVID. Buffalo versus the Islanders got moved due to the weather altering the Sabres' travel plans, which then altered the NHL's COVID tracing protocols, requiring the game to be postponed. This came after New Jersey had four players put on the COVID absence list and their games postponed until February 6th, which I think I just saw actually got pushed to the 8th. Some people are wondering if the NHL should just shut it down for a little while until things can get sorted out. Oh, here we go. Devils COVID list up to 14.
Oh, all right. They got a break, an outbreak going on in the
Devils. Yeah, I mean, you got, I'm not even going to say all these names, former, because there's just a lot of them and it'll take a while. And I'm pretty sure I can't pronounce some of them. You know, I was just thinking about Travis Ajak the other day. I don't know why. I think I was wondering if he was still playing, you know? Anyways, let's scroll. Where did it go? Buffalo City Rogers. Wants the ice through February 8th. At least through February 8th. That's the Sabres. So, yeah, I don't know about the Devils per se. If you want to look that up, I'm going to keep going, and then we'll come back to it. Let's see what else is happening. Vegas is expected to resume practices on Wednesday after postponing four games due to COVID, which closed their practice facilities. Shea Weber will play in his 1,000th NHL game Tuesday night against Vancouver. That's an impressive amount of games considering you play, what, like 82 during the regular season? And he's had lockouts to deal with like seven times probably at this point. So that is pretty impressive. The Rangers waived and essentially have moved on from defenseman Tony DeAngelo. I don't know if you've been keeping track of this story. This is pretty interesting. After the Rangers' overtime loss to the Penguins this past Saturday, there was an altercation between DeAngelo and goaltender Grigoriev. There's also a rumor going around that in the locker room, Chris Kreider punched DeAngelo, probably because he was mouthing off to the young goaltender. So the Rangers put DeAngelo on waivers. He cleared waivers. And technically was placed on the Rangers taxi squad, but they have no intention of having him join the team and are looking for ways and working with his agent for ways for him to be gone. And I believe this is after they re-signed him to a decent new deal. So he also apparently has had some interesting problems on Twitter. He apparently had he kept pretending it wasn't him, but he had a burner account where he was saying nice things about himself. He also apparently, I'm not getting into the politics side of things, but he was in favor of some of the things that were happening on January 6th, it sounds like. So he's got some problems.
You can currently find him on Parler now.
Yeah, can you find anybody on there now? Anyways, so in NWHL news, the Metropolitan Riveters pulled out of the tournament midweek due to a COVID outbreak around the team. And then on Monday, the Connecticut Whale announced their departure. There were no new positive COVID tests on the teams. They did have one a week ago, but they're staying in the same hotel as Riveters, but they, I guess, decided as a group it would be safer to just focus on next season. Now, the semifinals of the NWHL for their tournament will have the Toronto Six taking on the Buffalo Buttes, while the Boston Pride will take on the Minnesota Whitecaps. Hey, if there is a team in DC, what should they be called? I don't actually have a good answer for this. You could go historically with hockey. I'm going to feel awful because there probably is a DC-based women's hockey team. Hang on, I'm going to look it up if I can spell correctly.
You could call them the DC Stars.
Since I like
three
it.
Stars on the flag.
I like it. The Washington Wolves is a women's ice hockey club. I mean, obviously, I think that's, let's see. They're at upper and lower division teams playing the Mid-Atlantic Women's Hockey League. So they probably wouldn't be very happy if you stole their name. I like the Stars. That's not bad. So, yeah, the single elimination NWHL Isabel Cup semifinals, they will be shown live on the NBC Sports Network while it still exists. That'll be on Thursday, February 4th at 5:30 and 8 p.m., those two games. The winners of the semifinals will advance to the Cup Final. The next day on Friday, 7 p.m., NBC Sports Network. That's the news from the past week in the wide world of hockey.
I mean, it's great that the NWHL had this tournament and it was on Twitch and people could watch all the games, but it just sucks that, again, because of COVID, things had to be shut down and teams had to leave. Like, imagine you're Buffalo and Boston and you were playing last night and it's an elimination game, and halfway through the game you find out neither team is being eliminated because another team forfeited. So it changed the whole direction of the tournament. But support women's hockey. Watch the semifinals. Watch the final on NBC Sports. There's still a lot of talent that's playing in those games. So don't just give up because other teams called it quits. Because, again, we're living in crazy times right now. So sometimes things just don't work out the way you'd hope. But support women's hockey, watch these games, and enjoy some hockey on Thursday and Friday night if you're not watching a Caps game. So, Coach Dan, have we covered everything for this episode of What the Puck?
I think so. I think that's it. Whatever we miss, we'll just cover next week.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. So if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTB Coach Dan, talking all kinds of things related to the Washington Capitals, as well as Arsenal Football Club and how they were 100% screwed out of a game today by the referees. I mean, we sometimes on here will complain about, you know, the calls going back to Toronto, whatever the case is. VAR was a joke today, and the rules don't make sense. Referee was abysmal. But anyways, also on there talking about, I mean, nothing right now because it's the offseason. I mean, it's about to be the offseason. Got the big game on Sunday with the Bills, Washington Football Team. Big trade in the NFL this past week. What was that, weekend? Was that yesterday? When did that happen?
It was Sunday. I think it happened Sunday.
Stafford going out to L.A. for Jared Goff and 825 draft picks or something.
You were talking about weird trades in the NHL and in football. I mean, for them to go quarterback for quarterback, that's a little weird.
I mean, that I feel like makes sense because you're going to need a quarterback, and Detroit didn't have anybody else if they got rid of Stafford. But to take on that contract for Goff, who hasn't shown that he's really all that good, that's going to be a problem. Not that I can say much because I'm also a Washington Football Team fan, and we don't have a quarterback. Now, I know people want to go out and get Deshaun Watson. What that's going to cost?
A lot of money.
All that. I mean, rumor is they want 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and 2 young defensive starters. And if they want Chase Young, the answer is no. No, thank you. Have a good day. So yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of interesting things related to the Washington Capitals, hockey in the DC area, and the National Hockey League. It's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were just talking about football a minute ago. Do you have a podcast that people could listen to if they happen to be fans of a certain purple-colored team based out of Baltimore?
That's right. If you enjoy the Baltimore Ravens, you're a fan of football, check out my podcast called The Call. That's my Baltimore Ravens podcast. You can listen to it wherever you listen to this show. We're on all the platforms. We share them all together. Now, Coach Dan, who do you think is going to win on Sunday, Brady or Mahomes?
I'm hoping. So I'm a little torn here. I don't want, like, obviously I'm a little annoyed that the Chiefs beat the Bills, even though I kind of saw it, you know, you see it coming because Chiefs are obviously very good. The Bills aren't there yet. But I kind of, hear me out. And this was my father-in-law's idea. I kind of want Brady to win because then maybe he'll finally go away. You know, like, he got a ring. You can stop. Go away. So yeah, I hope the Chiefs, because I don't want him to win another one, because I just don't like the guy.
I saw a meme that somebody put out.
Although he's pretty funny on Twitter.
Once the Super Bowl was announced and who was playing in it, and it said, everybody said they wanted 2021 to go back to normal. Let's forget about 2020. When we said we wanted it to go back to normal, we didn't mean Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. So
yeah, perhaps
pretty funny.
There's have you ever seen the movie Camp Nowhere?
I don't think so.
It came out in like the early to mid 90s. It's a movie about kids who end up like renting a property over the summer. They turn into a quote unquote camp. Just, it doesn't matter. The point is, Christopher Lloyd's in the movie, and there's a line where something along the lines of, when we were protesting in the 60s about wanting to change the world, perhaps we should have been more specific. I think, yes, same thing applies here. When we said we wanted to go back to normal, probably should have been a little more specific.
Well, I mean, I got to say, I think it'll be a good game. You know, Tom Brady's the best ever play. So, I mean, he really is. I can't knock a guy for being in 10 Super Bowls. It's unheard of. I'm probably going to be rooting for him because his center is Ryan Jensen, who's a former Raven. And Ryan Jensen did a lot for animal charities here in Baltimore. So I'm going to be rooting for Ryan Jensen to win that one. More than Tom Brady, but I'll be rooting for the Bucks, I think, on Sunday.
All right, well, you know what? This is our last show. You want Brady to get another one? Only if he goes away.
I mean, that would be nice, too. I don't think he is, but I think he's going to be like Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. You're going to have to, like, he's going to leave, and you're going to make him kicking and screaming the entire way. It's going to be like, no, Tom, you're 60. You can't play anymore.
Get out of here, old man.
But hey, he's taking another team to the Super Bowl. If he even says, like, all right, guys, I'm done, every other team's going to be like, you know, you could come play here for a year.
Do you want another? Well, yeah, because he also brought in a bunch of dudes just because he was there. They're like, well, I want to go play for Tom.
Yeah. I mean, that Gronk came back out of retirement for Tommy.
Hey, yay, yay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to Caps talk. Let's talk about the games until we talk again. We got, first off, first trip to the Big Apple this year up against the Rangers. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or on the NHL Network. Is there number one draft pick? Is he going to be playing? I can't assume.
He just scored his first. Yeah, he's. I would imagine. He just scored his first NHL goal within the last week. I can't remember which game it was. I think it was.
Right, well, that'd be fun.
Was it a game winner? Might have been.
I'm not sure. But that'll be fun to see him, see how he plays.
Hopefully poorly. And then,
on Sunday, February 7th, Super Bowl Sunday, the Caps are keeping the tradition alive, and they have a game before the big game later that night. The Capitals are back in D.C. up against the Philadelphia Flyers. That game is at noon, and you can watch that on broadcast television on NBC. And then on Tuesday, February 9th, the Caps against Philly again. 7 o'clock start. You can watch that one on NBC Sports, NBC Sports Washington, or ESPN Plus. So that's interesting, this schedule. Normally we've been seeing these teams back-to-back or, you know, two teams at the same time. But, it's carryover. But then there's a Rangers game and then two against Philly.
They just have, like, a layover in New York on their way to Philly.
That's interesting.
Which sounds weird because that's not how layovers should work. But that happened, well, it was supposed to happen to me once years ago. This has nothing to do. Actually, it kind of has to do with hockey. Watch this. I'm going to turn it around so it makes sense. I'm coming back from the Dominican Republic years ago. And we're supposed to fly to Philly to then come to, I want to say National Airport. Anyways, so there's a big snowstorm that hit the, I want to say DC area, but it was hitting Philly. And so we're circling. And they're like, all right. We're going to go to, I think it was like Cleveland, and refuel and then come back. And we're like, all right, that doesn't really make sense. Like, all right, no, actually Cleveland's busy. We're going to go to Cincinnati or something along those lines. And it was like, all right, that also is weird, but sure, we'll spend more time in the freaking air. And then the pilot comes back on. All right, folks, so we're actually going to now heading to Buffalo. Everyone on the plane at the same time was like, what? We're going where? And not only that, but we're going to touch down and we're going to have to spend the night. And everyone's just like, oh, what? Are you kidding me? So we get to Buffalo, we land, and we're like, you know what? This is stupid. We can't get a flight back for another like day or two to figure out how to get home. And this is ridiculous. We're going to rent a car. So I go across the street from the airport, try and rent a car. They said, sorry, we don't have any cars. Brandon, do you know why they didn't have any cars?
Because everyone was in Buffalo?
This was in late December. Yes, they were. They were all in Buffalo because the World Juniors was happening at that moment. I was walking through the airport and stopped to look into like a restaurant bar area because they were watching the game. So that was fun. But actually the weird part was that I go to the place and they said we don't have any cars available. And then I call my wife, then girlfriend at the time, I was like, this is what's going on. We're gonna be in Buffalo for a couple days. And she goes, oh, well, I can book you a car right now on my computer. And I was like, what? So she got us a car. We drove home the next day. We drove around Pittsburgh and then came home. 8 hour drive, something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is that 8-9 hours?
It was something. I mean, we stopped outside of Pittsburgh for lunch, got some Tim Hortons, had a bunch of coffee from Tim Hortons before we left Buffalo. That was great. Yeah, but that was so yeah, maybe they're just doing a layover thing where they're gonna go to New York and then down to Philly, hopefully with no blizzards. Though it may not matter, but it is potentially going to snow on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I hear. There's a lot of talk of snow. It's supposed to be, I think, the whole weekend, potential snow around here Saturday and Sunday. But
the whole weekend?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. I'm going to look that up. I don't mind it, but can we get, like, real snow? Like, the snow that was falling today, the powdery, I like that a lot better than the ice crap.
Yeah. My dog loves the ice more than the snow. He's a big weirdo, though, so that's just him. All right, well, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.